Good morning. How are you? Well, we've had a full morning. And I have about 10 minutes, so we probably ought to get to it. I have no idea how to move forward with this, because I have a message that's about 3 days long. All right. I think it's interesting that we just did this thing on marriage and just intimacy in relationships together that I think is really important. And what I want to talk about this morning, I want to bring together the last two messages of the last 2 weeks when I spoke on the power of letting go, of releasing things to God, and then Ryan's message last week on the importance of not just being in the presence, but being intimate with Him in His presence. So I want to connect those two together and talk about a roadblock to intimacy. A roadblock that keeps us not only from intimate relationship with God, but intimate relationship with one another. Excuse me. And that roadblock is false identity. Excuse me. Wow, here we go. A false belief in who we think we are. Let me tell a story, and maybe that's all we'll get to. I have no idea. Deb and I shared this story with Ignite a little bit last Sunday night. Yeah, come on, Ignite students, come on. Yeah. But I want to just expound on it a little bit more. God does powerful things in us, doesn't He? Yeah. But I think we need to get this thing about God's work in us does not always make things comfortable. You don't like that? I'm sorry. It's just reality. It's just reality. So when God began to really move on us and transform Deb and I from, we'd been in ministry for 24 years at that time, and God stepped in and rocked our boat big time. And Deborah immediately grabbed hold of a whole new identity. It was really the person she really was, but had not been demonstrated, not been released on the world. And boy, was it released on the world. And God was doing some things in me. It just took Him longer. It was His fault. Took Him longer. He's just slow sometimes. It took Him longer to take me from where I was to where He wanted me to be in terms of how I saw myself. But I thought the problem was Deb.
Yeah. What?
I thought she had changed so much that she no longer was my wife. She was no longer the lover I had had for, at that time, 25 years. Everything changed. And what that lit up in me was insecurities. Because I wasn't changing my identity the way God wanted me to. I was not seeing me the way God wanted me to see me. Illustration of that, Deb had been prophetic all her life. She just didn't know it. So she would see things and hear things, and it would torment her because she didn't understand it. We came from a nonprofit organization. Some of you will get that on the way home. They didn't teach us those things. They didn't talk about those things. And so when we began to operate in a different stream of believers, and the prophets would come, and the prophets would talk about Deb. They would meet Deb. And we both be there. We both were in the room. But the prophets would look at Deb and say, they'd start just listing this amazing things that God was going to do through her, already beginning to do through her. Her prophetic gifting just lit up, and it attracted her new, and I want you to catch this, her new identity attracted a new inheritance. My false identity was attracting according to its kind. And it was distrust, and it was anxiety, it was misunderstanding. So the prophets would come along, they'd give this long list to Deborah, and it was amazing. It was really crazy good. And then they would turn to me and say, "You need her." And that's all they would say. And then they would turn back to Deb and start prophesying over Deb again. All that did was feed my insecurities, right? What about me? I'm the one that went to Bible school. I'm the one at that time that probably preached 250 messages. Yeah. And then she would get up, you know, I'd preach my heart out. And I was, "Oh, that's really good." Deb would step up, and in a moment, heaven opened up. She still does it. Am I right? There's an anointing on her for a moment's time to open windows and throw open doors for us to see God in a fresh new way. And it was amazingly good. But I couldn't rejoice in it because I had a false identity and I was offended. It was the roughest time in our marriage. It was hard. I'm telling you, it was hard. It was painful, I know. It was pain for both of us. I loved covenant. We were in covenant together, so we did never consider divorce. Murder, yes. Murder was on the table. And it wasn't until I began to desperately find God's word for me. Desperately seek, what's this all about? Why am I such turmoil inside? And he began to address my identity. The identity that I had adopted as a minister. Years ago, I gave people permission in this church, right here in this room, you don't have to call me pastor. Why was that? Because my identity had changed. I wasn't saying, "No, now you call me apostle. Please don't call me apostle. Just call me Dave or David." Because I didn't want, at that time I'd learned that a title often elevates us and therefore separates us from the people around us. Had nothing to do with what I wanted to be called something else. I knew that when I got to heaven, Jesus wasn't going to say, "Hi, Pastor Dave, it's good to see you." Now, please understand, you can call me Pastor. If that's a place of honor that you have in your heart, I have no problem with that. But part of my identity was changing. As a husband, it had to change. And until my identity changed, until I took hold of the identity that Christ had for me. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. Do you get it? I had to understand that God had created me very unique, different from anyone else in this room. My grandkids are laughing at me right now. They know I'm very unique. But just remember, I still are the one that gives the presents. And until I adopted what he had for me, irrespective of what God was doing in Deborah, it wasn't until then that I was able to rejoice in what she was becoming. I couldn't before. But when I began to adopt that God had a place for me, and it was good, that I could then look at her. I remember this moment. We were in Reading. She was standing on the, she was teaching at an arts conference. Remember this, Deb? And it had happened before this, but I realized how dramatic the change was in me. I was sitting like in the front row right there at Bethel, and I was looking at my wife, and I was so proud. I was so proud of her. But during that space of time, which was over a year, yeah, plus, I was destroying our intimacy in every part of our life. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about everything in our life. Our intimacy, our ability to really hear each other and communicate with each other and draw from each other and celebrate each other. See, I held a grain of wheat in my hand of a false identity. And until I threw it down into the goodness of God's love and let him let it die so that he could resurrect the truth. There is a scripture. So you know I'm legitimate this morning. We all know the story of the rancher who had two sons. One of his sons took his inheritance and left his father and went and destroyed it. Gave it just in wasteful living. There came a time when he realized, I got to do something different than I am right now, because right now I'm feeding the pigs and I only get what they eat. And he decides to go to his father's house. When he gets to his father's house, and on the way he has a false identity. Because he said to his father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. And I'm not worthy of being your son. So make me your servant. False identity. But the father wouldn't let him live with that identity. The father came to him and he embraced him. And he brought out the robe of sonship and he brought out the ring and the sandals and put it on his feet and on his finger. And the son embraced his father's new identity in him. And they could then celebrate. The other son, you know the story. The other son, he didn't leave his father, but he took on a false identity. When he said to his father, after seeing his brother being celebrated, he said, I've served you all my life. I've kept all the commandments. I kept all the rules. And yet you would not gift me with a goat. What was he saying? I have an identity as a slave, an identity as a servant, identity as a hired hand, an identity as an unrequited person, loved one, as a stepson. And what happened is he couldn't celebrate his father's joy. He resisted intimacy with his father. He would have been there the whole time, but he'd never had intimacy with his father. If he'd had intimacy with his father, if he'd had that kind of a relationship, he would have risen up and celebrated with his father's great joy that his son, who was once dead, is now alive. But he couldn't do it because of false identity. Our false identity will keep us from an intimate relationship with God. It will also keep us from intimate relationship with one another. Okay. Let me just say one other thing. How many of you know the story of the man of La Mancha? A few of you. The rest of you need to do some reading. Or at least watch the movie. Don Quixote was a man who lost his mind. He went out and wanted to right all the wrongs in the world. Oh, that really tastes good. Wish you had some. Sancho was his servant, and his servant was constantly trying to point out to Don Quixote that what he was seeing was not real. But they came to a windmill. You know the story. Some of you know the story, and you probably have heard the thing, oh, they're just what? Come on. Tilting at windmills. Fighting windmills. So he fights this windmill thinking it's a four-armed giant and he needs to take it down. So he attacks it. Then he comes to an inn that is just a run-down old inn, but he sees it as a castle. He goes into that castle and he finds this tattered, worn-out barmaid and prostitute named Aldonza. Aldonza. But he believes that she is a beautiful lady and names her Dulcinea. Dulcinea, or Aldonza, could not accept his identity for her, and she pushed him away. Said, "You're a madman. You don't know what you're talking about." A little later in the story, she gets raped and gets taken out of the inn by some very terrible men. When she gets back, she's obviously disheveled, worse off than she was before. And again, Quixote says, "I'll go after them and fight for my lady, Dulcinea." And she says, "Get away from me. Leave me." What's the problem here? She could not be drawn in to this man who was trying to change her identity because she was holding on to her old identity. And her old identity attracted everything that came with it. She was alone. She did not drop and lose that old identity. She did not let it go to the ground and die in the love of Don Quixote. Are you getting this? Because she held on to that, she was alone, and that aloneness drew all of the torment and all of the torture. Because our identity will draw according to its kind. But then a group of men come, they call the Knights of the Mirror. And these men come, and obviously it's a symbol, right? A mirror. Don Quixote has to see himself. And they force him to see himself as the world sees him. And it causes him to collapse. Goes back to his home. When he comes to himself, he wants to make out his will. And while he's making out his will, a woman walks in. She's absolutely gorgeous. She is a lady in every way. She is dressed perfectly. Her very countenance speaks of wonder. She has a glow that comes out from the inside of her. And he had no idea who she was until she introduced herself as Dulcinea. She became what Don Quixote declared her to be. Somewhere along the line, the word of his voice caught hold of who she wanted to be. And she caught it and she heard it for the first time. Maybe that's who I really am. And when she took hold of that and embraced that identity, she could then come into intimacy with Don Quixote. When we let our old identity go into the soil of God's transforming love and let it die, we not only take on a new identity, but we're drawn into intimate fellowship with him and with those around us. Well, it's St. Patty's Day, isn't it? It's a good man. He was taken from his homeland, which was either Scotland or Wales. They argue about where that was. He was made a slave in a foreign country. He escaped that country, went back to his homeland, but then returned to become known as the Apostle of Ireland. And here's a declaration he made about his own identity. So I am, first of all, a simple country person, a refugee, an unlearned. I do not know how to provide for the future, but this I know for certain, that before I was brought low, I was like a stone lying deep in the mud. Then he who is powerful came and in his mercy pulled me out, lifted me up and placed me on the very top of the wall. That is why I must shout aloud in return to the Lord for such great good deeds of his here and now and forever, which the human mind cannot measure. That's the power of letting go. So we know St. Patrick's prayer. It's a much longer prayer than we usually quote. But it's a declaration of intimacy. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lay down, Christ when I sit down. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me. Christ in the eye that sees me. Christ in the ear that hears me. What is he saying? That everybody, when they look at me, I am so overwhelmed with the intimacy with God that all they can see is Christ. When I speak, all they can hear is Christ. When they think of me, they think of Christ. Now that's intimacy. You will only have intimacy to the level you believed, your believed identity will allow you. You will only have intimacy to the level of your belief in who you are. Why don't you stand up? Here's what the father of the elder brother said. We don't know if the elder brother took on the true identity that the father had for him or not. We don't know. It's not really the point of the story. But here is the identity that he gave both of his sons, I believe. And I don't believe that this was the first time he had ever said this to his oldest son. I think he had said it many times, that he just never heard it. He never grabbed hold of it. He never was willing to drop off his old identity and take hold of the new. He said this, "Son, you have always been with me, and everything I have is yours." Did you hear me? Son, that's the true identity right there. That is our true identity. Son, daughter, you're not a servant, you're not a slave. You're not of the old man, you're of the new. He's your father, and you're his child. Son, you have always been with me. What does that mean? It means, to me, it's like, you've always been with me. It's not just geographic. It's not that you just stayed here, but you have a place in my heart like nobody else. Nobody else in the world has a place like you do. Yes, we celebrated your brother because he has a place in my heart like no other. But you do too. You've always been with me. And everything I have is yours. You want a goat? Is that as big as you can dream? Do you know that you can only dream as big as your identity will allow you? Come on, said something. He said, you just wouldn't give me a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Marriages. You want to see a new level of identity? Grab hold of what God's identity is for you. And be like Peter when, you know, after Jesus resurrects, Peter has denied him. Obviously, they're all hanging out, fishing, and they have a meal together with Jesus. Jesus is there, and he says to Peter, do you love me? He says it three times, do you love me? And Peter says, you know that I love you. He said, then feed my sheep and a couple of other things. And then he talks to Peter about his future. Talks to him about how he'd be persecuted. But Jesus just said, follow me. And Peter looks at the other disciples and he says to Jesus, well, what about them? And Jesus said, if I choose, whatever I choose to do with them, it doesn't matter, you follow me. Right? If I choose to make them live forever, what about you, Peter? So we come to that place where it's really, I hate to say it this way, it's all about us. Which is dangerous, right? But we take on the identity of Christ, and in your marriage, if you will take on the identity, like, you know, Christ in me, Christ around me, Christ over me, Christ everywhere in me. Let my wife see Christ in me. Let my husband see Christ in me. Let my words be the words that would resonate in them as Christ. So here's the deal. I love deals. Are we ready to let go of a false identity? And listen, these false, I know we don't have much time. I don't have any time. False identities hide. And you can deal with them at a level. But you have to be, what's the word? You have to be unrelenting and fearless in letting God continue to point out those places where insecurities lie because of your false identity. And it's a great adventure. Great, not in the sense of, hey, isn't it fun? But great in the result that bears much fruit in our lives. So if you are willing to say, you know, I want to, you know, the kingdom's all about exchange, right? We exchanged our sin for his righteousness, right? Are we ready to exchange our dysfunction for his purpose? Our insecurity for his security? Our false identity for a true God-given identity? If God is showing you in your own spirit right now that there's this place right here that you've held an identity that's not what I say you are or where I want to take you, It may be true of the way you're acting. It may be true of the way you're demonstrating. It may be true of how people are seeing you because that's what you're exhibiting. But he's saying, that's not what I want you to be. Will you allow it to drop to the ground and die in my love for you? And allow him to resurrect a new identity in that place. That's you, just raise your hand. Yep, I got one. I'm hearing one. Yeah, let's leave our hands up. Father, I pray for, I've got mine up right now, Lord. You know I do. You know I do. And we have our hand up, not just in recognition of something you're showing us, but in surrender to you. And not only surrender, but as a candidate for you to produce more fruit in our lives. Take us from where we've been to where you want us to be. Let us find truer intimacy with you as we don't allow that false identity to keep us from you. We repent of it, Lord. We recognize it and we turn from it. And by your grace, we turn from it and we say nevermore, nevermore. Nevermore. We embrace you. We don't understand it. You've come watching down the road for us, and we're dirty with pig stuff. But you've come and you've embraced us. You jump on us. You kiss our neck. And you call us son. You call us daughter. And that's what we embrace today. That's what we embrace. Not perfect, just your son, just your daughter. And we receive that now. In Jesus' name. Ministry team, why don't you come down? Is there others? Prophetic teams this morning? Good. Good. Some of you need a new identity through prophetic word. You do. So you need to make sure and take advantage of that this morning. Ministry team, come down. Let's sing a song as a declaration. Huh? Can we do this? Listen, some of you have just put yourself at risk. I'm just telling you, you've put yourself at risk for God to do a great work in you and through you and to increase your intimacy with one another and with him. There you go. Ready? Go ahead.
Whom I, the highest king, would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in his love. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son set free. Who is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house,
with you for healing, for restoration, any kind of relationship issues, anything that you want to place before God, they want to pray with you. So God bless you.
I am.
so much for your patience this morning. God bless you as you go. Grab your children, please. And get a prophetic word this morning, right over here. Especially if you're struggling in your identity, it's good to hear what the Lord is saying to you through those that have prayed for a word for you. So go ahead, go on and get in line over there. It won't take long, but God will speak to you through these individuals and share a truth with you that will help you in your fresh new identity. God bless you.
Yes, sir.